Super, thank you. And just want to echo that again. Welcome to everybody on the call today. My name is Gary Mazzotti. I'm the Vice Chairman of EP Infrastructure. We're joined today with Václav Palacek, who is the new Finance Director of EPIF, who joined us on the 1st of June. So I think this is his first investor presentation, so we wish you all the very best. I'll try and strike the right balance between those of you that know the group extremely well and those that might be new to the group. So we'll try and keep a balance which is relatively quick, but hopefully still relatively informative. EPIF is a leading Central European group. We operate in traditional energy infrastructure assets. Nothing has changed. We have four main pillars of the business. These are gas transmission, distribution and storage of gas, distribution of electricity, and the provision of district heating as well. Our assets are predominantly based in Slovakia and also slightly in the Czech Republic. We have an operation in Budapest in Hungary, and we also, at the end of 2018, acquired our first storage assets in Germany. Our strategic or rationale for our business remains the same. We wish to be in regulated and/or long-term contracted assets. The main feature of EPIF remains that we wish to convert a proportionately high amount of our EBITDA into cash flow, and those haven't changed. The cash conversion is effectively a result of high-quality assets underpinned with effective maintenance, all of which have a high cost to build and a low cost to operate, which results in our high cash flow. If we look now at the key numbers on page five of the presentation, we're pleased to give you the numbers which compare the last 12 months ended 30th of June 2020 compared to the financial year 2019. Those of you that were on our full year results 2019 will remember that I specifically described 2019 as an exceptional year, exceptional due primarily to the expectations in the market as to whether Ukraine and the Russian shipper would sign a contract at the end of 2009 to extend shipments through Slovakia. That resulted in effectively some front loading of 2020 uncontracted revenues into 2019 and also resulted in full storages around Europe. So please take the 2020 half-year results in context with the messaging we gave for the full year 2019. So the consolidated last 12-month sales were 3.3 billion Czech crowns, which is a fall compared to the financial year 2019 of 4%. The adjusted EBITDA fell to 1.54 billion euros, which again is a fall of 4% compared to prior year 2019. Our proportionate net leverage was an extremely healthy 4.1. As those of you that know that hold our bonds, you know that we have a dividend lockup covenant on our euro bonds of 4.5, but we managed around 30th of June to be at the level of 4.1, which reflects, as hopefully you recall, a fairly conservative capital structure policy that we operate. The cash flow for the last 12 months amounted to 969 million euros. This, in fact, was a fall of 12% from 2019. This, in effect, represents clearly the fall in EBITDA that we've shown. We've also maintained a high level of CapEx, particularly in the district heating business, And in effect, there was also in Slovakia a change of financial year, which meant that a tax payment that would originally have been carried out at the end of 2019 was actually carried out in 2020. So if you look at the 19 figures, you'll see an overperformance on cash generation, which is compensated in the first 6 months of 2020. We go on to say, as I said earlier, that there was an element of front-loading into the 2019 results from uncontracted revenues, but actually the effects of COVID, which Vasek will go through later, are relatively muted for us. And actually, we have to say that a drop in sales and EBITDA of 4% is rather a pleasing result given the events that is currently occupying the world. And Vasek will go through more details on the COVID impact later in the presentation. Finally, there is effectively a post 30th of June event that we will discuss in some detail later. We can confirm that we have entered into contracts to dispose of our stakes in Budapest District Heating and also in Prague District Heating to Veolia. Both transactions are subject to approval of the competition authorities and certain technical conditions. Later on in the presentation, I'll talk a little bit more about those disposals and the strategic rationale as to why we made those disposals, and then a little bit of more strategy as to where EPIF might be looking to go in the future. If we turn to page 7 of the presentation, clearly the first point we want to make to everyone is that we remain investment grade with all three rating agencies, which have all been confirmed and all have been confirmed recently on a stable basis. So we remain with S&P BBB stable, with Moody's Baa3, with Fitch BBB minus. Clearly we're very happy to have those ratings reconfirmed, and especially reconfirmed on a stable basis. Our main division, for those of you that don't know us, is gas transmission. This is the main pipes that bring gas through Slovakia, both east to west from Ukraine and north to south from Czech Republic, with exit points at Baumgarten into Austria and exit points also into Poland and back into Ukraine in Budinsa. The business is 51% owned by the Slovak state, 49% by EPIF, with full management control. The second core division is gas and power distribution, again owned with the Slovak state. The major company there is SPPR Distribucia, which is the monopoly gas distributor in Slovakia with 98% of the market. And we also own one of three electricity distribution companies, SSE Distribucia, which is actually based in the middle of Slovakia, 51% owned by the Slovak state, 49% by us, with full management control. The third division is gas storage. This is actually our only division that is not regulated, but it is in fact long-term contracted. We are effectively the largest gas storage business in Central Eastern Europe, with roughly 23% of total storages in Czech, Slovakia, and Austria. And we also now, I think, have something like 8% of the German storage market following our acquisition in Bavaria at the end of 2018. The fourth division we call heat infra, or district heating, or hot water. These are heating pipes for large conurbations, and we are the biggest district heating business in the Czech Republic. If we look slightly then to the right-hand side into the core numbers, we look at adjusted EBITDA. The last 12 months dropped to 1.536 billion euros from 1.6. billion euros. And if those of you remember my presentation to full year, I pointed out that 2018, 2017, and in fact 2016 adjusted EBITDA was 1.46 billion, and that should be seen as an understanding of where the core results of the group lie. Proportionate adjusted EBITDA was 839 million euros. Again, exactly the same point that I made for adjusted EBITDA. Adjusted cash flow fell to 969 million euros. I'll make further comments on that when we move to page 8 of the presentation. Proportionate net debt dropped to 3.4 billion euros. We have some good news on funding facilities and new bond issues, which Vaclav will give you, and our net leverage ratio well within our bond covenants at 4.1. If I move you to page 8 of the presentation, we break this down in a little bit more detail for you. Gas transmission indeed saw its EBITDA drop from 737 to 689, as I think we clearly indicated in our last call. Cash conversion remains extremely healthy, given that the main pipes is where the capex was. And gas transmission volumes have dropped from 69 BCM, which was exceptional, down to a more sustainable 62 BCM. We're extremely pleased with the gas transmission results, and when we look at gas transmission in detail, I'll give you a little bit more flavor and color as to why. Gas and power distribution fell from 516 to 506 million. Again, gas and power distribution had some exceptional income in 2019. For those that know our presentations, I think we always say that around 500 is the normalized result of gas and power distribution. Again, cash conversion, highly healthy at 84%, and the actual KPIs of gas and power distributed are almost constant with 2019, which I think gives you an indication of the COVID-19 effects on the business. Gas storage, I think I was clear that because of the geopolitical uncertainty last year, storages in Europe were full running up to the end of the year. This meant that the volumes that we stored over and above our long-term contracted volumes, we were full. So gas storage last year had a year that I described as Christmas. Clearly going into this year, gas storages remain full throughout Europe. So again, a very, very healthy environment for gas storage, with our EBITDA rising from 180 million euros to 198 million euros. Cash conversion still extremely healthy. Storage capacity remains constant at 61 terawatt hours. Heat infra has probably had the most difficult 6 months. Clearly, the weather was extremely warm, almost record-breaking in Central Eastern Europe. So that warm weather, whilst marginally impacting our EBITDA, did impact our EBITDA. The other influence is clearly the continual rise in emissions allowance prices. And whilst this is effectively transferable into higher regulated prices, there's clearly a timing gap between the rise in emission prices and that going through to the retail end user price. And that's why you see heat infra EBITDA dropping from 175 million to 144 million. We have, however, maintained our capex commitment in district heating as we continue to meet all environmental standards required by these businesses. I, of course, should point out that the post 30th of June event we announced is that two significant businesses within heat infra, we have signed contracts for disposal. So in total, the EBITDA dropped from 1.6 billion to 1.5 billion. The cash conversion remains highly positive. And therefore, that backs up what I said at the beginning, which is the six-month results, I think we can describe clearly as a very pleasing performance. So now he's looking a little nervous, but I know he's going to give a fabulous display. We'll pass you over to Václav Palicek, the finance director of EPIF, who will take you through the key financing issues of the group. Václav.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome everyone. Please turn to page number 10, and let me take you through our financing strategy. First of all, there were no major changes in our strategy, and this is always good news. Basically, what we always aimed at was to have roughly 60 to 80% of our total gross debt in bonds, and this particularly holds true following to the refinancing we did recently, namely issuance of two bonds at EP infrastructure level totaling of 1.1 billion in 2019 and successful issuance of 500 million bond at Eustream this June. So as a result, we keep 75% of our gross debt in bonds and similar instruments as of end of June 2020. Secondly, we always were saying that we would like to keep our proportionate debt at a holding level, which again, after the refinancing I briefly mentioned, holds true. And as of June 2020, we have roughly 66% of our proportionate debt at holding level. And thirdly, we always said we try to increase average tenor for our financing and optimize interest costs. I'll be talking about this point later, namely with respect to refinancing at Eustream and bank refinancing at EPIF level. In terms of leverage, the cornerstone of our financial strategy, the management target is still for 4.3 times net debt to adjusted EBITDA on proportionate terms. And this is well supported by a dividend lockup covenant at 4.5 times that is in financing documentation in the group. Further, you know there is a shareholders agreement at SPP infrastructure level and SSE group level. Each of them basically caps the leverage of those groups at 2.5 times. And as you will be able to see on the following slides, SPPI net leverage stood at 1.4 times and SSE leverage was even negative. Given such low leverage ratios, we have decent space to maneuver. We are flexible to distribute cash generated at operating companies to the holding level to service the debt that is sitting there. And in terms of key developments during 2020, you probably know in January, EPIF managed to refinance its existing bank debt by drawing a new term facility and committed revolving credit facility. We managed to increase the tenor by 2 years by 2025. And also we managed to upsize the limit of committed revolving credit facility by 150 million to 400. And it gave us additional comfort and flexibility over our liquidity position over in these volatile times. Secondly, as you know, in July of this year, 750 million bond issued out on Eustream level was maturing. And given our conservative financing strategy already in December 2019, we have secured 590 million of committed credit facility at Eustream as a backup for bond refinancing. which gave us, again, comfort and flexibility over the period when the maturity was approaching. And in June, we tested the bond market, and at the end, we issued a 500 million bond with a 7-year tenor, coupon 1.625, and the transaction was significantly oversubscribed, which makes us really happy about the outcome of this transaction. With that, I would navigate you to the next page, page number 11, where you can see the key figures, primarily 4.1 times net leverage on proportionate basis, as Gary was saying. To the capital structure, I would like to make two comments. Firstly, you might have noted that we keep a quite robust cash balance of almost 1.5 billion at the end of June. And the reasons are twofold. As I said, we issued 500 million bond at Eustream and kept the cash until the maturity of the old bond in July. And secondly, we decided to keep higher cash balances as being conservative. And the second point I would like to highlight is that if you take our proportionate free cash flow generated in a 12-month period ending June 2020, and you apply it to proportionate net debt as of end June 2020, you will see that EPF Group has the ability to repay its proportionate debt in approximately 6-year time, which I believe is really outstanding ability, and it distinguishes us from our peer group. Overall, if you look at the capital structure, you can see it's driven by conservative financial policy, which is based on the commitment of the group and also its shareholders to maintaining investment grade profile for EPF Group. And as Gary mentioned, over May and June of this year, all three rating agencies completed their annual review cycle and affirmed our ratings, all of them with a stable outlook. And I think this is a remarkable result, given the fact that we have seen many fallen angels companies being downgraded or put on a negative watch. So this is really good result, I think. And then we can move to the following page, which is an overview of our capital structure I was describing. If you compare it to the structure as of year-end 2019, you won't see many differences. Basically, EP Energy Group is virtually without debt, following to refinancing of bond at EP Energy in the fall 2019. Secondly, there is SPP Infrastructure Group with leverage that stood at 1.4 times, well below the cap of 2.5 times. So we have a flexibility to distribute cash to the holding level. In particular, here we have in place a short-term depositing agreement between the company and its shareholders, which allow us to distribute free cash to shareholders as a prepayment for dividend. And this is really efficient tool that we use quite flexible. We use quite frequently. With that, we can move to the next slide. On the upper left-hand side, you can see a confirmation what I was saying, that roughly 75% of our gross debt exposure is in bonds and similar instruments, and we are happy with that, as it is in the range of 60 to 80%. Secondly, I would like to highlight that as of end of June, We had available 870 million of committed lines, namely at EPIF, EP Energy, NAFTA, and Eustream. And this significant liquidity buffer gave us more flexibility. And I need to mention part of this buffer was at Eustream at backup for its refinancing. In terms of debt maturity profile, if you look at year 2020, there is still 750 million Eustream bond that was fully repaid in July from combination of 500 million bond issued in June and combined with own sources. If you look at on upcoming maturities, you will see 500 in next year, which is SPP Distribucija bond maturing in June. With regards to refinancing of this instrument, we might be thinking about using the similar structure that we used for Eustream refinancing, meaning we might have in place committed bank facility and then test market. Since the gas distribution business is very stable, we think that SPP Distribucija might be a good candidate to test market for longer tenor. So with that, I would conclude the financing section and would navigate you to page number 14. There is a summary of our ESG strategy and key initiatives, as this is one of the main areas we look at. Basically, here I would like to highlight two facts. Firstly, in April, we received ESG rating from S&P, where we scored 65 out of 100 possible points. It's an above average rating, and we are very happy about this rating, as we were first CE entity to receive such rating. And it allowed us to identify areas that we need to further focus on. Secondly, I would like to mention that at the end of August, we have issued our second sustainability report focusing on performance in 2019. And this is the first year the sustainability report is fully aligned with the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals and the 2030 Agenda, which is a set of globally agreed targets contributing to shared peace and prosperity. So both documents, the S&P evaluation rating and sustainability report, are available on our webpage, and I do recommend you have a look at them. They are quite detailed and might be useful for your purposes. And with that, I would like to hand over to Gary to start with the business section.
Thank you, Ashok. So we'll briefly go through the core four divisions of the business. So we'll start at page 16, which is clearly the largest division we have, which is gas transmission. Eustream company, it's the only TSO in Slovakia. Almost a third of the European import capacity from Russia comes through our network. The assets are owned 51% by the Slovak government, so they're key and strategic to Slovakia. And we're also building a further connector into Poland, which will be completed in 2021. It's a regulated business. The current regulatory period ends on 2021. Indications are that the next regulatory period will be consistent with the current one. Our contracts are all 100% ship or pay contracts. For those of you that know the group, 50% of our annual capacity is booked until 2028 by a major Russian shipper. And we also, at the end of 2019, are able to disclose that a new transit agreement was reached between Russia and Ukraine for 5 years, with 65 BCM in total for 2020, with a minimum of 40 BCM reserved for the Slovak transmission, and 40 BCM booked annually for the following 4 years. Russia and the Russian shipper has therefore an option to extend this contract for another 10 years to 2034. For those of you that know our business, the majority of our gas ships to Austria and to Italy, and 2034 ties in with other transit agreements from Russia to those markets. The network is very well maintained, and we are therefore able to generate a significant high cash conversion of 91%. We have a conservative leverage cap of 2.5. We're significantly below that. Ustream has its own credit ratings of Baa2 by Moody's and A- by Fitch. And as Vasek said, we successfully issued, or they successfully issued, a new 500 million bond, and were able to repay the 750 million euro bond that fell due in July of this year. So what's changed since the last presentation? And the answer is not very much. Clearly, last year was an exceptional year for gas movements, as everyone prepared. This year, it remains fairly standard and constant. Yes, there were front-loading of non-contracted capacities that took place in 19, so there is a fall this year. But that is compensated to an extent by Ukraine opening up their storage capacities to some extent in 2020, and therefore significant additional flows we didn't envisage going from west to east. The main question on your mind, or the main question you ask us, is with regards to Nord Stream 2. We can confirm that Nord Stream 2 is not completed as of yet. In the public domain, you are aware of sanctions from the US government on the pipe builders, and clearly we're all aware of the geopolitical situation currently around the German situation with Alex Navalny. Our position remains the same, that we do expect Nord Stream 2 to become fully operational and is embedded in our long-term plans. With regards to supply and demand dynamics, again, little change. Europe gets its indigenous gas from Holland, the UK, and North Africa, and from Norway. All of those are at maximum, and in fact, in some markets are decreasing, which increases the need for import gas into Western Europe. There are effectively two main sources for gas into Western Europe, either LNG or Russian gas. So our scenarios remain consistent with where they were 6 months ago. We are pleased, in fact slightly surprised, how well Ustream is doing, given how exceptional their results were for 2019. So a good and pleasing performance by our distribution unit, and for those that have questions afterwards, we can go into maybe a little bit more detail. If we move now to gas and power distribution, I'll hand over to Vasek for this section.
Sure. If you look at pages 18 and 19, focused on gas and power distribution segment, you won't see many changes as compared to what we were showing for full year 2019. And this is given by the fact that gas and power distribution is a regulated business, and the regulator is still very concerned with stability of distribution tariffs. And this is proven over several regulatory periods. Similarly to transmission segment, the current regulatory period lasts till end of 2021. And we have no reasons to believe that there would be significant changes for the next 5-year regulatory period starting in 2022. If you look at figures for this segment, we can start with gas distribution volumes that stood stable at 52 terawatt hours in both periods, 12 months ending June 2020 and full year 2019. And this is given by the fact that gas is used for heating in Slovakia and for household demand is quite inelastic. On the other hand, if you look at power distributed volumes, we can see a 4% decline in distributed volume, and this is driven by decline in economic activity caused by COVID outbreak. However, if you look at the financial impact of this decrease of distribution volume, you can see the EBITDA of the segment dropped by only 10 million to 506 million, which is a 2% decline. And you might wonder why there is a disproportion, and the answer is that volume risk is partially limited within the structure of distribution tariffs. Overall, the segment kept a very high cash conversion at 84%, as Gary was mentioning, and this is thanks to the fact that we have very well invested network facilities. And what we have to do is to maintain them properly. With that, I would move to the next page, focused on the heat infra segment, which is also a regulated segment, delivering heat to final consumers and municipality customers in the Czech Republic and Hungary. Clearly, this segment was impacted by warm winter at the beginning of this year, which caused a 2% decline of heat sales. And additionally, we were partially hit by a decline in power prices that were realized by Czech cogeneration plants. So overall, the major impact was a decline in heat volumes, and this was combined with this adverse effect of lower power prices. Overall, we maintain a quite high cash conversion ratio at 58% for this 12-month period ending in June 2020. And with that, I would hand over back to Gary to update you on the highlights of gas storage segment.
So storage remains as is, as per our previous presentation, 24% share in our core markets of Slovakia, Czech Republic and Austria. We are the monopoly gas storage operator in Slovakia. And we also have made an acquisition, Nafta Spiker, at the end of 2018. So we now have 7.6 or 8% share in the German market. We can confirm that the acquisition in Germany went to plan. In fact, it probably went slightly better than plan. We are unique in that our hubs enable connection to several gas routes, which makes us a unique storage proposition. We have capacity contracted, and the full details are given on item three. Our investment for a storage asset is primarily the hole in the ground. Therefore, we continue to have superb cash conversion. It is not a regulated business. However, long-term contracts underpin the core capacity of our storage facilities, and we're able to add on to that innovative products which enables us to extract maximum value from our storage facilities. So it's a good combination of stable long-term contracted revenues and the ability to bring innovative products to gas storage. And as you know from the numbers, currently gas storage is a significantly overperforming business within our group. We then move to page 23.
Yeah. Yeah. There we present recent developments in our group. This is divided into four parts. Financing, ESG topics, COVID impact, and lastly, recently announced divestments outside EPIP Group. I believe this could be the most interesting topic for you, so I'll try to make first three topics rather quick. So in financing terms, as I mentioned, in July we repaid 750 million bond at Eustream from combination of proceeds from 500 million bond issuance from June. And this was combined with own cash sitting at Eustream. Secondly, EP infrastructure entity managed to prolong its credit facilities by 3 years till 2023. And basically, EPIF entity has roughly 100 million of committed credit lines at its disposal, and none of it was drawn as end of June 2020. Further, following to Eustream refinancing, Eustream reduced its limit for revolving credit facility, as this was instrument basically in place to back up the bond refinancing. So we reduced the limit to 275 million, which we believe is still a sufficient liquidity buffer. And also I need to mention, in terms of dividends, EPIF declared and distributed 200 million to its shareholders in March. And on top of that, at the beginning of August, it distributed additional 100 million to shareholders. And from my perspective, it shows that even our shareholders are quite confident about our results. With respect to ESG topics, as I mentioned, in April we obtained ESG rating from S&P. We scored 65 out of 100 points, and the report is available on our webpage. Similarly, at the end of August, we issued 2019 sustainability report for first time, fully aligned with the United Nations Sustainability Development Goals. And again, this report is available on our webpage, and I do recommend that you have a look at it. With that, we can move to slides 24 and 25 that are focused on COVID-19 impact on our businesses. Clearly, health and safety of our employees, our partners and contractors is of our primary interest, and we are taking actions across the group to make sure about that. We do regularly monitor the situation and adjust appropriately our measures. And secondly, given the fact that we run the strategic infrastructure assets, we are aware that we must ensure continuity of essential energy service we provide to our clients. So those are two cornerstones for our thinking about COVID impact. And in terms of financials, we can move to the page 25. Clearly, we are infrastructure asset whose revenues are driven by regulatory-based payments or are long-term contracted, and as such, you wouldn't expect us to be hit as severely as other businesses. On top of that, our financial stability is supported by our superb cash conversion that Gary mentioned at the beginning of presentation. Further, we fully appreciate counterparty credit risks, and we do monitor it on a weekly basis. And thirdly, we believe we have sufficient committed liquidity As I mentioned, as of end of June, we had available 870 million of undrawn available committed facilities to support our liquidity. So I believe we shall overcome potential cash flow difficulties, although we do not expect them to materialize. On the other hand, decline in economic activity adversely impacted demand for commodities and their prices, and it had certain impact on our businesses. As I mentioned, we recorded 4% lower power distributed volumes, which however has limited financial impact due to structural distribution tariffs. And secondly, due to lower power prices, heat infra business was partially impacted by this. However, the major impact was warm winter at the beginning of this year. So overall, if we look at the full year figures in 12-month period ending June 2020 and compare it with full year 2019, which was really exceptional year, we are down 4% on adjusted EBITDA terms, and I believe this is really a pleasing result. And with that, I would conclude COVID topic and hand over to Gary to guide you through our recently announced divestments.
Thank you, Vasek. So page 26, clearly the big news of the release. So we have recently EP Energy, which is 100% owned by EP Infrastructure, entered into a contract to dispose of its stake in Praska Teplorenska, the PT Group, and Budapest Iromu Zert, which we call as BERT, both assets being sold to Veolia Environment SA Group. Each disposal is separate and is subject to the approval of the competition authorities and certain technical conditions. We expect the transactions to take place and to close in the fourth quarter of this year. The amount of proceeds from both disposal will remain undisclosed. In total, both entities accounted for roughly 5% of our consolidated EBITDA, or roughly 10% of our proportionate EBITDA. For those that don't know, PT Group is the major heat distributor in Prague, whilst BERT was the key producer of heat in Budapest. So if we look just a little bit at strategy, BERT in Hungary, firstly, is in Hungary. It was our only asset in Hungary, and we've never really had any strategic ambitions. So logically, disposing of this asset strategically makes sense. It is also a key producer of heat, so that whilst the income was predictable, it is, in essence, a merchant asset. So effectively, geographically, it didn't fit into our strategy, and also it didn't fit into the strategy of being regulated or long-term contracted. So logically, it was a very logical disposal to make. With regards to Praska Teplorenska, clearly this is a key asset in Prague. The other major distributor of heat in Prague is Veolia. So again, strategically it made a lot of sense for one group or the other to combine the two district heatings. Excuse me. As you may know, Praska Teplorenska took its heat on long-term contract from another energy company in the Czech Republic, and the source of heat for Praska Teplorenska was lignite. Therefore, by disposing of the group, we also remove a significant source of CO2 within EPIF. So that's the rationale for the disposals. For those of you that listened to the front end and looked at the cash conversion ratios, you can also see that the other three divisions perform significantly better for cash conversion than our district heating. Use of proceeds, clearly we will look at our current indebtedness. Those facilities that we consider to be a little too high in cost, we may repay. We will always maintain our proportionate leverage within our dividend lockup and in line with probably what we've done for the last 3-4 years, which is to navigate around 4.3. The use of proceeds, clearly EPIF Management Board and its shareholders are analysing a range of potential acquisitions and strategic moves. I think I can be fairly clear that we're unlikely to move outside of regulated long-term contracted or assets within our existing four core divisions. Clearly, if we are able to find infrastructure assets which meet our strict investment criteria, then there will be some distribution to shareholders. But again, we'd like to emphasize that the dividend lockup covenant of 4.5 times proportionate EBITDA remains effectively sacrosanct. And in fact, the management indications we've always given you that we will monitor around 4.3 remains in place. So those are the divestments. We will finalize with the key takeaways on page 27. They remain the same. I won't go through them. I just want to conclude that we remain stable and we remain predictable with regards to our profits and with regards to our cash generation. In the presentation of 2019 full year results, I described the results as exceptional with regards to the results for the first 6 months of 2020. I would describe those as pleasing. That then ends our presentation for today, and we're happy to take questions. So, moderator, can you see if there are anybody still awake or would like to ask any questions?
Yes, absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. Alternatively, if you're joining the conference online, select the flag icon. If you change your mind, please press star followed by two or the flag icon once again. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure your phone is unmuted locally. We don't currently have any questions.
Okay, so on behalf of EPIF, myself, and the premier debut of Vasek Palacek, we'd like to thank you for your time today. Clearly, we are available at any time. If you have questions, please put them through to our investor relations, and we will be delighted to answer those questions. So thank you very much for attending today, and we wish you a successful day. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.